Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. Very happy to have you listening, and hope everybody out there is doing well, given the circumstances, that you're safe, that you're healthy, and all your loved ones as well. Happy to continue bringing you previews of the various college prospects that are going to be in the draft, some of whom might end up on the Giants. You never know. And what I've been doing is I've been reaching out to the various Locked On hosts who run the college programs and having them come on because they know their players as well as anybody at this point. And today is LSU Day. And who better to come on the program to talk to me about it is than the host of Locked On LSU. He's also on the NESPN Baton Rouge program. His name is Matt Moscona. And Matt, thank you so much for coming on the program with me.
Hey, Patricia, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, so Matt, LSU has, it looks like, well over a dozen players in this year's draft class. We're going to throw out Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow is probably not going to make it down to the Giants. But I want to get into some of these other players that potentially could have Giants written all over them. And before I do, I just want to mention something. I run a website called Giants Country, which is an SI.com sports channel. And sure. They recently did, Sports Illustrated recently did, they're doing a series right now called, which schools produce the most NFL quality players at various positions. And LSU was actually named as one of the linebackers, factories, if you will. So let's start there if we could. There's a couple of guys, I think, at linebacker in this draft. There's Kalevon Chaisson. I hope I said that right.
Close enough, and a really good try with a tough name too.
I know. I've got to learn these names. So we'll start with him, and then I think there's another young man who's not as highly touted, Michael Divinity, I think it is.
Yep.
And let me see. And then there's Patrick Queen. So let's start there. What can you tell us about those three linebackers?
So all three are guys that are versatile and will fit perfectly in today's NFL. So Kalevon Chaisson was a five-star premier prospect coming out of the Houston area when he signed with LSU, made an impact as a freshman, and then tore his ACL in the first game of his sophomore season and missed his entire sophomore season. So a big question coming back this season in his junior year was how he came back off of the injury. And he had a dynamic season off the edge. So he played outside linebacker in Dave Aranda's 3-4 defense. So he was mostly standing up and rushing off the edge. He is your prototype, right? I mean, he is the 6'4", 245, 250-pound, chiseled out of stone, long arms, edge rusher that really flourishes in today's NFL. The reason why it seems like for Chaisson, his rise on draft boards has come late is because of the injury as a sophomore. Teams needed to see him have a productive junior season, which he did, and he actually played his best in the biggest games in Alabama, against Alabama, in the national championship game, in the college football playoff. So Chaisson is a guy that, if you look at most mock drafts, is somewhere in the a teens pick in round one, which is not at all surprising. Once teams got to look at him at the combine, he checks every box that you want for an edge rusher in today's NFL. Patrick Queen is the other really interesting guy that blew up late. He played running back in high school. So he's a bit of a smaller guy. He's in that 6'2", 230 range. But what's impressive about Queen, and the reason he's also now shot up draft boards, is you see a guy that is strong enough to stop the run on the interior and is athletic enough to defend sideline to sideline. He can cover backs out of the backfield. He can run with a tight end or a receiver, and he's also a thumper in the middle. So when you look at versatile linebackers, that's really what LSU has been recruiting. When you think back to guys like Devin White, who also played running back in high school and converted to linebacker when he got to LSU, they knew with spread offenses in college football, you had to have linebackers that could run, you know, big space eaters in the middle on the defensive line, and linebackers that can run. And then Divinity is a really interesting case. So he missed, he only played five games this season because he was out due to suspension, due to a positive drug, multiple positive drug tests. And that's going to be one of the things that causes him potentially to fall on draft boards. Now, it'll be interesting, obviously, with the new CBA and players not facing suspension for marijuana tests, for positive drug tests, how that might impact a guy like Divinity. But Patricia, Divinity is one of those guys that was kind of the queen piece on the chessboard for Dave Aranda's defense. When Devin White obviously left early for the NFL, they moved Divinity into Devin White's spot because he was smart enough to make all the calls. But he was also, as a junior, LSU's leading sacker. So he absolutely can go play on the outside and get pressure, but he's smart enough and physical enough to play on the inside as well. So all three guys are and by the way, I know it sounds like I'm gushing, but there's a reason LSU went 15-0 and won the national championship in as impressive fashion as they did. They had a really talented team, and they have they may have six first rounders and as many as 16 guys drafted. So that's going to kind of be a recurring theme as we talk through this. But all three of those guys, you know, Queen and Chasson should absolutely be first round draft picks. Divinity is just a curious case because of the off the field stuff, but if he stays healthy and stays clean, he will have a long NFL career because he is a very productive player inside or out.
And I forgot to mention Jacob Phillips. I don't know. Sure. That's a new name I haven't come across yet. I haven't profiled him. Is he, what is he, like a day three prospect, or where's he ranking the pecking order?
So Phillips is another interesting. He was a five-star. He was the number one player in the state of Tennessee when he signed with LSU out of the Nashville area. And he is more of your traditional prototype linebacker. So you know, Phillips is that sort of 6'2", 245, 250 thumper in the middle. I don't know that in this NFL he's a three-down linebacker, which is why you're probably going to see him as a middle-round pick. But he is fast and athletic and strong and a guy that is probably a middle-round pick. Ideally for Jacob, I bet you'd love to see him maybe creep into day two if he could be, you know, maybe a late second or third round pick. But I think that's probably the ceiling for him in this draft because you're just not going to see many guys that aren't three down linebackers go that high in the draft. But he is athletically very, very gifted and but not as able to run sideline to sideline as the other guys that we mentioned, which is probably why you're going to see him drop. But yeah, I probably think optimistically he'd be a day two pick in this draft, maybe third round.
All right. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Matt Muscona of Locked On LSU and NESPN Baton Rouge. We are breaking down the LSU draft prospects. We're going to take a quick break, come back, flip over to the offensive side of the board, specifically these offensive linemen and a receiver that could find himself on the Giants. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you. It is LSU Draft Prospect Preview Day, and Matt Muscona is with us. He is the host of Locked On LSU, NESPN Baton Rouge, and he is doing a great job so far breaking down and telling us a little bit more about the prospects in the LSU draft class. And Matt, let's turn our attention to the offensive side of the board. And there's a couple of offensive linemen in here. About three offensive linemen. The leading names, including Lloyd Cushenberry III. Damian Lewis is a name I recognize having profiled him. And there's also, I'm going to take a stab at this name. Hopefully I get it correct. Sadiq Charles, I believe it is. So,
Sadiq, yep.
Okay. So tell us about these three offensive linemen, where they'd line up best. And also, before you jump into that, just kind of give everybody an overview as to what type of scheme they ran at LSU as far as, you know, was it zone blocking, outside blocking, and so forth?
So LSU in 2019 changed their offense. So they were historically a 3 yards in a cloud of dust, tight splits, road graders, that's what they were under Les Miles, and they never threw the football. And in 2019, LSU switched to a spread and had a record-setting offense. They literally set the record for the most points in the history of college football in a season. Won the national title, and Joe Burrow won the Heisman. And this offensive line was a big part of it. They were, Patricia, in 2018, they were bad. They were a liability on this team. And in 2019, with the entire unit back, they won the Joe Moore Award as the best offensive line as a unit in all of college football. And a big part of it is guys that you mentioned, in that they all progressed in the 2019 season. So Lloyd Cushenberry is a center. He's from about 15 minutes outside of Baton Rouge. He was a low-rated prospect. He was actually the last member of the signing class to sign with LSU. But he won the starting job at center, started there for 2 years, and he might well be the best center in this draft. Long arms, he can play guard. So if you're looking for a versatile player that could play any of the three positions on the interior, he can do it. But he's going to be a center, and is probably the best center in this draft. He also wore LSU has a tradition where they pass the number 18. It's like to the best leader on the team. And so he was the first offensive lineman to get that honor. So not only are you getting a great player, a hard worker, physically gifted player, but also someone who has a ton of leadership ability as well. So Lloyd has a chance to be a second round pick and quite possibly the first center off the board. Damian Lewis is 100% a guard. He came to LSU via junior college. He was a 2-year starter, very durable. I mean, he is a big physical road grader. Run blocking is certainly his forte. Pass blocking is where you might have a little bit of a liability, but he improved there this year. I would think Damian is a middle round pick. He went to the combine and and performed well there. And then Sadiq Charles is a really interesting one. So he became the first freshman offensive lineman to start his first game of his career at LSU in something like 25 years. And that was back in 2017. Now, Sadiq also missed time due to positive drug tests. So you're talking about a guy that's played both right tackle and left tackle at LSU. He could play either side in the NFL. And when you have a versatile offensive lineman like that, that can play anywhere on the line but center, that's very valuable as a starter, as a swing man with limited rosters. So Sadiq's versatility, and he is the most athletic of all the guys we just mentioned, his versatility makes him a very valuable NFL prospect. Again, I'll go back to the same thing we talked about with Mike Divinity. What do teams do when you start doing your due diligence on a guy and you find out that he's had some issues off the field? Is how much does that drop him down someone's draft board? In years past, we've seen cases like Randy Gregory, who ultimately went to the Cowboys, or Tim Williams, who went to the Ravens. Guys who had those issues in college that was would cost them games in the NFL if it persisted. Under the new CBA, with that maybe not being the case, it'll be interesting to see what guys, how much that might affect a guy like Sadiq's draft stock. But he is a talented, versatile lineman. And, that's a guy who should be, in a normal circumstance, a day two pick, but might see his stock drop because of the off the field issues.
In terms of Cushenberry, I want to go back to something you said. You gave the opinion that you think he is the best center in this draft, and center is a need of the Giants. And I just want to explore a little bit more with you why you feel that he is maybe the best center in this draft. I'm assuming that would mean that you think he's the most NFL ready. What have you seen from him that just makes you feel that way?
So I would defer to all the draft analysts, right? If you look at anyone who puts out draft grades, everyone has either, Cushenberry is the first or second center in the draft. So I would lean to scouts into that. As far as being NFL ready, long arms, which makes him a very effective pass blocker. He has great get off at the line of scrimmage, so he can get into a guy's pads and drive him off the ball. You also talk about leadership ability, and physically he is ready to start day one in the NFL. So we're here in Louisiana, and the Saints drafted Eric McCoy last year from Texas A&M in the second round, and he started all 16 games for the Saints at a position of need. If an NFL team takes Lloyd Cushenberry, with their second or third pick, with the idea of making him a day one starter at center. He can be that. And you know, the other interesting thing, obviously, in the NFL is Patricia, wasn't always this way with the old CBA, whenever you had so much money locked into rookie draft picks, where interior linemen just weren't as valuable and you didn't want to sink that much money. But now that you know, you can use a second or third round pick on a guy and get him a super affordable price, you can use that high of a pick on an interior lineman and get great value. So it would not be surprising at all if you see Lloyd Cushenberry come off the board in round two, and he is the first center taken in the draft.
Now, here's what's interesting about the use of this of a rookie center, and this is where I have a little bit of concern, and maybe you can kind of, you know, I guess alleviate it. Daniel Jones is a second year quarterback for the Giants, a guy who, you know, was learning, learning how to read defenses for the first time last year, NFL defenses, which are more complex than in college. And I'm just wondering, you know, how complex in the SEC are the line calls that, you know, Cushenberry has to make, because that's a big thing in terms of setting the protections and all that good stuff. And I'm just wondering, sure, you know, how he did with that. And, you know, I don't know, when you go back and you look at sacks and pressures and all that stuff, how much of that was on him versus, you know, somebody blowing an assignment versus the quarterback holding the ball too long or other extraneous factors?
LSU is one of the best in the country this year at protecting Joe Burrow and keeping him upright. But it's a great point, by the way, about rookie centers as well. And I agree with you. I mean, if you subscribe to the notion that, you know, the only two players that touch the ball on every play are the quarterbacks and the center, I mean, it's obviously a key spot. I always was told this interesting stat by a buddy who likes to lay some coin on games here and there. He said when a team's starting center misses a game, they don't cover almost 80% of the time in that week. So I'm a firm believer in the importance of that position. It's a great point about Daniel Jones as well, being a young guy. But as for defenses in the SEC, when you look around the league, I mean, they have some of the most notable defensive coaches in the country. Obviously with Nick Saban at Alabama, Kirby Smart at Georgia. You look at Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, who was, you know, an assistant under Nick Saban. You know, Todd Grantham at Florida. And then, honestly, when you look at any year's draft and the amount of talent that comes out of the SEC, they usually double up the next conference in the number of draft picks. So typically you're going against the best players and the best coaches when you play in this league. So guys are usually NFL ready, you know, if they're taking that high out of this conference. It's not to say there aren't misses, and I would totally understand the point about a young quarterback and a young center. That a rookie and a second-year player in that battery – I wouldn't think would be ideal, but I just don't. Lloyd's one of those guys you just don't worry about, Patricia. Like he's a student of the game, you know, the first one in, last one leave type guy. I mentioned, you know, the number 18 jersey that, you know, was given him by the coaches for you know, leadership ability. He's the kind of rock solid safe draft pick that you make for a guy that, you know, may never wow you. He may never be a perennial all pro or pro bowler, but he's a guy that you could put in the middle of your line and could start there for, you know, for the span of two contracts, and you just never worry about that position. Durable, never missed a game at LSU, played both guard and center. Just he's I'm trying to think, you know, through the guys in this class from LSU. Lloyd might be as safe a prospect as there is to say you take him, you're going to get production for a long time. He's just one that I don't think teams are going to have a ton of questions about. It's just going to be what team has the need that's willing to spend the pick that they need to on a guy that's going to be a center.
Okay, good point. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Matt Moscona of Locked On LSU and NESPN Baton Rouge. We're going to take our final break, come back, and we've got a few more players from LSU we need to talk about, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you. It is LSU Day. We are running down the list of LSU draft prospects, and Matt Muscana, who is the host of Locked On LSU and who is also part of NESPN Baton Rouge, is on the line with us, and he is doing a great job breaking everybody down. Matt, let's flip back to the defensive side of the ball. You got a couple of guys there in safety, Grant Delpit, and cornerback Christian Fulton, who are also players in positions that the Giants could possibly need. What can you tell us about those two guys?
Those two, Grant Delpit, someone is going to get a total steal. Grant Delpit as a sophomore in 2018 was the best defensive back in college football. And understand LSU has produced some amazing safeties. If you go back and you look at Ryan Clark, who had a long NFL career, up to Eric Reed and Jamal Adams and guys who were first-round picks. Y'all obviously in New York know a lot about Jamal, but Grant Delpit, his 2018 season was better than all of those guys. And it's not to say that he's going to have the best NFL career of all of them, but Grant is a 6'3 Adonis at safety. He won the Thorpe Award this year for the best defensive back in college football, but he played half the season with a bum ankle. So there were times where on film, it didn't look great for Grant this year because he was playing injured. He is the guy, Patricia, that because of everything that's going on with the shutdown, he's the guy that's going to be impacted the most, because Grant didn't go through the drills at the combine because he wanted to give himself 6 more weeks to heal and be ready to roll at his pro day. And obviously not having a pro day now, that's going to hurt Grant Delpit. Because if you look back at mock drafts a year ago at this time, Grant Delpit was a consensus top 10 pick. I mean, there was a chance some had him in the top 5. He's that type of player. But candidly, it didn't always look great on film this year because he was playing injured. And this pre-draft process would have been Grant's opportunity to show that he's healthy and remind teams what he can do. But all you have to do is put on the tape from 2018 and see what he is. And he is the guy on the defensive side of all the LSU players in this draft who's got the potential to be the perennial Pro Bowl, all pro, type guy. I mean, he's a stud. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And someone is going to get an absolute steal with Grant Delpit if it's early round 2, because that's a guy who has literally top 10 in the draft ability, but is not going to go there because of the injury and the just inability throughout all of this, which is going on right now, to show at the teams. Christian Fulton, in my opinion, has the widest range of where he might go in this draft. It would not surprise me at all. He's a cornerback. He was a lockdown number one corner for LSU as a junior, came back for his senior season, and actually got targeted more because Derek Stingley was opposite him, and Derek Stingley was the number one cornerback in the country this year. But Fulton is a true outside guy. You don't need to move him in. He doesn't need to play dime or nickel. He can live and exist out on an island. He was a 5-star coming out of high school. His story is interesting, Patricia. He falsified a urine test and got caught falsifying a urine test, which he didn't even test positive, by the way. But he missed a year and a half. He went through a long appeals process with the NCAA and missed a year and a half of football. And instead of transferring, going to junior college ranks, he just stuck it out at LSU and kept going through the appeals process and ultimately was allowed to play. So a good kid who did a dumb thing once in his life and suffered for it. But he is a talented prospect, but teams seem to vary. If you look on any mock drafts, some have Christian Fulton going middle of round 1, maybe 22 to Minnesota. Some might have him going at the end of round 2. And neither would surprise me based on where corners go in this draft. I think everyone agrees the consensus of Jeff Okuda from Ohio State is the best corner in this draft. There are some people who feel Christian Fulton might be the next corner off the board. And it also wouldn't surprise me if he was one of the guys that fell as a result of maybe so many quarterbacks going in round one, right? I mean, if you end up having a half dozen quarterbacks that are taken in this, in the first round of this draft, there's always going to be a position, you know, guys that maybe have talent to be first rounders that drop, and that could be Christian in this draft as well. Those two guys, Christian Fulton, Grant Delpit, if they last into round two, and I know the Giants will be picking the top of round two, those are two guys that are without question first round talents that if they fall into round two, someone is going to get an absolute steal. And you will look back in 10 years and go, how did that guy, why was that guy sitting there in round two?
It's interesting. In terms of, I'm just looking at the list of the remaining defensive players, and a guy we didn't talk about yet is defensive lineman Rashard Lawrence II, mm-hmm. which is another guy who plays a position that Dave Gettleman in particular loves to stock up on. He calls them the hog mollies. So those big, you know, defensive linemen and offensive yeah. linemen, he calls them his hog mollies, and we call Gettleman the hog father. So what does Rashard Lawrence bring to the table?
Rashard's another one of those guys that's just consistent. I don't know that he's an NFL star, but he was a five-star when he signed with LSU out of North Louisiana. He came back for his senior year. Rashard's his best game of his career was in the Fiesta Bowl. He won defensive MVP awards when they played Central Florida out in the Fiesta Bowl at the end of the 2018 season. Rashard's problem was he battled a lot of injuries. If you go look at his, you know, his games played, and I don't have it in front of me. You forgive me for that, but boy, he battled a lot of ankle and knee, and just never his shoulder. Just those little things that, man, if he could ever just stay healthy for an entire season, he was a very productive player, and another really good character guy in the locker room. When you would ask people around LSU who's the best leader on the team, like, you know, the vocal guy, they would tell you internally, it's Rashard. So you're getting a character guy, leadership, all that stuff. You know, you'd never have to worry about that. A guy that you want in your locker room, Rashard's issue has just been injuries and durability. And that's the kind of guy that, you know, when you go to the combine and you start going through the battery of medical tests and they find all the little nicks and scrapes and aches and pains that you've had in your career, it's always curious to see how much that affects the guy's draft stock. So I don't doubt there's going to be a team that falls in love with the character the fact that he's a hog molly. I mean, you're talking about a big guy that's, you know, 6'3", 315 pounds, that, you know, is a space eater in the middle that's athletic and can rush the passer from the inside as well. You know, and will probably be one of those guys that hangs around an NFL roster for a really long time. But I would say with Rashard, his inability to stay healthy for a full season is the bugaboo.
Okay. Now, let me put you on the spot here. Who amongst the LSU draft prospects do you think is the one guy that isn't getting enough mention amongst analysts and media and whatnot? And who do you think right now is the most overrated of the LSU prospects?
It's interesting. Overrated, I'd probably say Patrick Queen. And I hate to say that because he's probably going to be a first round pick and has the potential to play a long time in the league, Patricia. It's just, he didn't do it for very long. You know, Patrick played linebacker and running back in high school, but man, there was a logjam at linebacker when he got to LSU. So it wasn't really until this year. And I mentioned Michael Divinity's suspension. It was only because of that that Patrick Queen really started to emerge in that spot and play more reps. And then he exploded in the college football playoff in the national championship game on a massive stage. And everyone was like, who's this guy? So it's not that he can't athletically, obviously he can. It's a matter of, we haven't seen it consistently for long enough. A guy that's not getting enough. I mean, I'll keep going back to Grant Delpit. Patricia, it is stunning to me that Grant Delpit has fallen down draft boards the way he has. And I understand how some defenses are going to devalue the safety position. It's rare, unless if you have a transcendent guy like a Jamal Adams that goes early in round one, but Grant Delpit is that guy. Like, of all the guys in this draft, and I know Burrow's going to be the first pick in the draft, and I think he's going to have an amazing career. And Justin Jefferson's a receiver who we haven't talked about that I think is going to be sensational. Delpit has, I mean, I hesitate to say this because I know it's going to sound absurd, but like if you said of all these guys, who do you think has the best chance one day to be in the conversation to have a Hall of Fame career? I would tell you Grant Delpit. Like it's just physically he has everything. And it's stunning to me. He played through an ankle injury and because of it didn't play well at times this year. And it's going to cost him, which is unfortunate, but that's a guy that should be a top 10 pick in this draft. That's probably going to go early in round two and someone's going to get a steal. And I'll give you one more name.
Sure.
Thad Moss at tight end. So that's Randy Moss's kid who started his career at North Carolina State, transferred to LSU, had to sit out a year, then missed another year because of injury. And then this year, really in his only season playing at LSU, set the LSU record for receptions by a tight end. He did not have one drop all year, not one drop on a target all season. And he is also a very physical edge blocker. So that's a versatile kid at tight end that nobody's really talking about that's going to be a middle round pick that I think could be a really good player somewhere that needs a pass catching tight end.
And then finally, what do you anticipate for the LSU group? Because every year it just seems like there's surprises in the draft, things that we just don't see coming. Where do you see the biggest surprise potentially, be it a good surprise or a guy maybe falling down the draft board or whatever, amongst the LSU draft prospects?
So I'll give you a random off the radar one. So Blake Ferguson is LSU's long snapper. And I know that's odd. He has a chance to be the highest selected draft pick for a long snapper in the history of the draft. My goodness, I don't have it in front of me, but there's a kid I think from maybe Navy who is the highest selected long snapper ever, and Blake has a chance to beat that. So that's random. That's off the board, but he snapped every snap for 4 years at LSU, and he does all these trick shot snap videos and everything. So his brother Reed is the long snapper for the Bills. And so Blake Ferguson, that's a random one sort of off the radar for you to keep an eye on. And what was the other question?
Just basically, you know, who you anticipated, you know, the biggest surprise, good or bad.
Surprise. You know, something just to keep an eye on as far as the LSU guys. This has and Patricia, I know I mentioned it earlier. I know it sounds like I'm gushing and people are like, man, giant homer. Like LSU has the potential this year to have 6 first round draft picks. That would tie that great Miami team from 2003. They had 16 guys go to the combine, which was a record. So you're just going to have a ton of LSU guys come off the board in this draft. There's a reason they won the national title in the manner in which they did. It's just this was an insanely talented group, a generational type group that I think most LSU fans realize they'll never see again. This much talent. If you want one more guy, maybe off the radar, I'd give you Braden Fehoko. He transferred to LSU from Texas Tech. He's another one of those hog molly defensive linemen. He's of Samoan descent, family from Hawaii. His dad was actually, if you ever seen a Hawaii football game, they had Billy the Warrior, their mascot, which was a Samoan man dressed like a warrior. His dad was that guy. So really interesting story, great family. And he's another defensive lineman who may hear his name called late in the draft that could hang around for a good while in the NFL.
All right. Great stuff, Matt. Thank you so much for all the insight. And you know, it's funny you mentioned the long snapper, the Giants, Zach Diossi. I have a feeling he's going to retire. Nothing has been done there, but he's been a long snapper for like going back to, I want to say 2007. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if the Giants have somebody on their roster or if they need to add somebody. I don't think they would draft a long snapper, but certainly, you know, you can't underestimate that position. You know, This is a team, remember, who had the Trey Junkin botch long snap and whatnot. So it's just going to be interesting to see. But thank you so much for the information. And just tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Sure. If you can spell my last name, you can find me anywhere. There's a lot of vowels in there. It's Matt at Matt Moscona, M-O-S-C-O-N-A. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and LinkedIn and TikTok and anywhere. So if you can spell my last name, you can find me on any social media platform.
All right. And listen, good luck with Locked On LSU. I know there's not a whole lot to talk about, but, you know, listen, if the Giants pick up a few of these guys, maybe we have you back on the show and you can help us with trying to figure out how these guys are going to be deployed and what the Giants are trying to build.
I'd love to do it.
All right. Awesome. That is Matt Moscona of Locked On LSU. Do check out that podcast. Check out all our Locked On podcasts, not just the NFL podcasts, but we also have college. We have MLB. We have NBA. I know those sports aren't playing right now, but the hosts are doing a great job trying to come up with some content to kind of fill the void while we get through this COVID-19 outbreak together. So again, hope everybody is healthy, staying well. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Giants podcast. From Matt Moscona, I am Patricia Traina, and we'll talk to you again soon.